Chapter 37. So you're a kind of a pain in the ass. Why'd Kylar take you in? Vi asked. They'd been on the trail for a week, and if Uli wasn't the best company, at least she was more interesting than the horses and the trees and the little villages they had to avoid. Vi wasn't making conversation, she was gathering much information. Kylar was coming to kill her.
He did it because he loves me, Uli said, as defiant as usual. Someday, he's going to marry me.
She'd said such things before, and it had immediately aroused Vi's suspicions. But after asking a few questions that left Uli puzzled, Vi had realized her suspicions were wrong. Kylar wasn't a pedophile.
Yes, yes, I know, but he couldn't have loved you before he knew you, could he?
You said that when he took you out of the castle was the first time you saw him.
I thought he was my real father at first, Uli said.
Vi said, as if she weren't very interested.
Who are your real parents?
My father's name was Durzo, but he's dead now. Kylar won't talk about him. I think my mother is Ma McKay. She always looked at me funny when we stayed with her.
Vi had to grab the back of her saddle to steady herself.
Nisos, that was it!
She knew Uli looked familiar. Uli was Durzo and Mama Kay's daughter. No wonder they'd concealed her. It also explained why Kylar had taken her in. Inexplicably, the thought made her ache. She couldn't imagine taking in one of Hugh's bastards. For that matter, she couldn't imagine Hugh caring about one of them. Suddenly, Uli was twice as valuable to the God King. Holding Uli would mean controlling Mama Kay. Maybe it would be enough to free Vi from his clutches. But Vi knew better. The God King rewarded his servants well. Any vice she had, she would be allowed to indulge to satiety. He'd give her gold, clothes, slaves, whatever she wanted. But he'd never give her freedom. She'd proven herself too valuable for that. The more Vi learned about Kylar, the more she despaired. She needed Uli to talk, because she needed to know everything about her enemy she could. Everything she learned was from a 12-year-old girl who had a crush on the man, but Vi was good at sifting truth from opinion. Still, Kylar was sounding more and more... Fuck! She wasn't going to think about that again. It just left her feeling worse. Damn this trail! Damn this long trip! One more week and she could wash her hands of this. Maybe she wouldn't even stick around for her payday, much as she deserved it. She'd drop off the girl with a note about what she'd done, and she'd disappear. She'd killed Jarl. She'd deliver Kylar and Mama Kay to the God King. Surely he wouldn't waste his resources sending someone after her then. Even if he did, he wouldn't come after her with the fury he would have if she betrayed him. She could disappear. There were only a few people she feared, and all of them were too valuable to be sent after her. One of them was Kylar, but he wouldn't survive long. Maybe he'd killed Roth or Sul, 30 elite Highlanders and some witches. Uli seemed to know a lot about that, but he'd never survive the God King. Vi would head to Seth or Ladesh, or deep into the mountains of Siora where her red hair wouldn't be so unusual. She'd never spread her legs for another man, and she'd never take another contract. She didn't know what a normal life looked like, but she'd give herself time to figure it out. After this, she pulled the scrap of note she'd taken from Kylar's house and read it again. Eline, I'm sorry. I tried. I swear I tried. Some things are worth more than my happiness. Some things only I can do. Sell these to Master Burari and move the family to a better part of town. I will always love you.
Hey, ugly, Vi said. What did Eline and Kylar fight about? I think it was about how the bed wasn't creaking.
Vi furrowed her brow.
What?
Then she burst out laughing. Well, that's normal enough. Was that all?
Why, what's it mean? Uli asked.
Fucking! Men and women fight about it all the time.
What's fucking? Uli asked.
So, Vi told her as explicitly as possible, and Uli looked more and more horrified.
Does it hurt?
Uli asked.
Sometimes.
It sounds gross.
It is. It's messy and sticky and sweaty and smelly and gross. Sometimes it even makes you bleed.
Why do girls let them do that?
Uli asked. Because men make them. That's why they fight about it.
Kylar wouldn't do that, Uli said. He wouldn't hurt Eline.
Then why'd they fight about it?
Uli looked sick.
He wouldn't do that, she said. He wouldn't. I don't think they ever did it anyway, because the bed never creaked and Aunt Mia said it would, but Aunt Mia said it was fun.
The bed never creaked. Whatever. Is that all they fought about? Vi asked.
She wanted him to sell his sword, the sword Durzo gave him. He didn't want to, but she said it proved he still wanted to be a wet boy, but he didn't. He really wanted to be with us. It made him really mad when she said that.
So he wanted out, too. That's what he meant in the note when he said he tried. He tried to leave.
Nisos. Kylar might not even know she'd taken Uli. She didn't know if that was a good thing or not.
It did explain why he'd gone charging past them in the fog that morning, though. He would have been sure she'd return to Cenaria as quickly as possible. Several hundred paces ahead, Vi saw the forest change. No, not change. It transformed as abruptly as if the earth had been split with an axe. On the near side, the forest was like what they'd been riding in for days. On the far side, enormous sequoias grew. They must be near Taurus Bend. It didn't mean much to her, but it looked like the riding would be easier under those great trees. There was almost no undergrowth in a forest that old. They were only 15 paces from the sequoias when an old woman stepped out from the trees in front and to one side of them. She looked as startled as Vi felt. She was holding a glowing sheet of gold in her hands. Glowing gold could only mean magic. The woman was a mage.
Stop!
The old woman yelled. Vi snapped her body back in the saddle and yanked the reins of Uli's horse out of her hands. As she sat back up, she jabbed her heels in and looked toward the mage. The woman was running heavily, awkwardly, and not toward Vi and Uli. She was running away from the old forest, and she had flung aside the glowing gold sheet.
What the hell?
It was strange, but not so strange that Vi stopped. In all the world, the only people she had to fear were wet boys, witches, and mages. The horses charged for the forest, almost throwing Uli out of the saddle. The mage was only 30 paces away now, almost even with them. She ran a few more steps, and Vi could have sworn that the woman was emerging from something like a vast, nearly invisible bubble covering the forest. The woman brought up her hands and spoke. Something crackled and whipped forward. Vi dropped her body as far on the opposite side of her horse as she could. There was a concussion nearby, and Uli flew off the horse. Vi didn't stop to look. She grabbed a throwing knife from an ankle sheath and threw it as she brought herself back up into the saddle. It was a long throw, 20 paces at a target she couldn't see before she released the knife. But it was really only meant as a distraction. Vi looked back. Uli was lying on the ground, unconscious. There was no hesitation. A wet boy doesn't hesitate. A wet boy acts, even if it's the wrong action. Vi couldn't stay still. It made her a target. She dug her heels into her horse's flanks again. The horse lunged forward and promptly crashed into the ground, its front legs cut out from under it. Vi pulled her feet from the stirrups. She would land in a ball, roll free of the horse, draw throwing knives. Except the horse fell faster than she expected. She slapped into the ground, hard, her body flipping over as she skidded on her back. Her head kissed an iron-hard root, and black spots swam before her eyes. "Up, damn you! Get up!" She got on her hands and knees and tried to stand, eyes watering, head ringing.
"I'm sorry. I can't let you do that," the old woman said.
She looked like she actually meant it.
"No, it can't end like this."
The beefy old woman raised a hand and spoke. Vi tried to throw herself to one side, but she didn't make it.